Welcome to Artrageous, a weekly podcast about the truly outrageous stories in the art and design world. Welcome to another episode of Artrageous. This week, we have a breaking news story that we can add to the list of comical Florida man type headlines that bring laughter to everyone except the people living in Florida. Except this time, it's a woman and not a man. This story made headlines across the world in publications like the New York Times, the Washington Post, BBC, CNN, USA Today, Business Insider, Smithsonian Magazine, all of these publications, plus other sites dedicated specifically to art news like ArtNet News and Art Forum. So something must have happened that really caught the attention of people. It all started when a Jeff Koons sculpture was on display at a booth at Art Wynwood, which is a contemporary art fair in Miami, Florida. During cocktail hour, Koons' metallic blue porcelain sculpture, aptly named Balloon Dog Blue, fell off of its pedestal and broke into hundreds of pieces. The sound that made must have been heart-stopping, and I can't imagine the shock on people's faces as they saw it take a tumble. As an onlooker, what do you even do in that situation? I was looking through a couple different articles to figure out what exactly happened and why the sculpture fell, but there's a little bit of discrepancy between articles. The first version of events that I read was that someone didn't learn at a young age to look, don't touch. And one of the art collectors in attendance who saw the sculpture fall says that they saw an older woman, who was allegedly an art collector, tap the sculpture with her finger, causing it to tip over and fall off the pedestal. Someone else then commented on his Instagram post saying that the woman in question was her grandmother and that she didn't tap on the sculpture. This coincides with the official statement from the gallery district manager, Cedric Boero, that says a collector unintentionally kicked the pedestal that displayed the sculpture, causing it to topple over and break. Regardless of how it happened, the sculpture landed on the floor and ended up in a bajillion pieces. People gathered around and pulled out their phones to take video of the unlucky canine's carnage as workers cleaned up all those broken pieces. I find it really amusing that this piece was valued at $42,000, but was then swept up into what looked like the dollar store dustbin I use when cleaning up kitty litter around the cat's litter box in my basement. You would think that that would be the end of that, but we may now have another Banksy girl with balloon situation on our hands. This episode is really giving me flashbacks to our fourth episode of Artrageous with that story, and apparently it did for other people too, because in a couple videos, you can hear people in the background joking about taking a broken piece of the sculpture off the ground before the mess was cleaned up. And as soon as the workers started sweeping up the pieces, there were even a few collectors who offered to buy the broken pieces. Offers are still coming in to buy them. When asked about why he made an offer on the destroyed sculpture, art collector Stephen Gamson says, "To me, it's the story. It makes the art even more interesting." And naturally, following all of the hype around this story, one of the editions of the Balloon Dog Blue sculpture was listed on art marketplace website Artsy for $48,000, just a few days after the one at the Miami Art Fair was broken. So I think maybe a lot of people are expecting the value of the balloon dogs to increase, just like the Banksy piece did after it was shredded. That might be a little more difficult, though, considering there are 799, or now 798, balloon dog sculptures in the series. So the one that broke and the ones being listed online aren't exactly one of a kind. I found a lot of comments from the general public that show some more mixed reactions to the incident. You have the art collectors clamoring for the broken pieces. You have conspiracy theorists who say the whole thing was staged to raise the value of the piece. And then you have people commenting that the woman who broke the sculpture did everyone a favor, or that the piece went where it truly belongs. Although, I'm going to assume they didn't just throw away the broken pieces. Fortunately for the woman who caused the accident, the piece is insured and she won't be held liable for its cost. If you think finding the right coverage for your home can be a nightmare, I don't even want to think about the logistics of buying an insurance policy on art or going through that claims process. Seeing as all this happened during an open cocktail hour, maybe we can all just agree that booze and breakable things just don't mix. And actually, this isn't the first time that one of Jeff Koons' balloon dogs has bit the dust in a horrible fashion. As I mentioned before, there's not just one balloon dog, but a whole litter of balloon dogs. I'm not sure what it is about Miami, but maybe the balloon dog should just avoid that area altogether. Because back in 2016, one of the balloon dog sculptures broke when on display at a booth at Design Miami when it fell out of a mirrored display case. Although Koontz has not commented on the most recent canine caper, he did comment on the 2016 incident. Surprisingly, he wasn't too fazed by the loss and was actually pretty cool about it. His comment was that we're really lucky when it's just objects that get broken when there's little accidents like that because they can be replaced. I'm glad he wasn't too mad about it, but maybe that's because the one that broke in 2016 was only valued at like $8,000 or $9,000 at the time. Some of his balloon dogs are worth millions. Okay, let's backtrack here for a second and talk about who Jeff Koons is and some of his work. You might be thinking, Jeff Koons, why does that name sound familiar? Well, he's been in the news a lot over the years. Mostly it's because of controversy surrounding his works. Jeff Koons has been accused of plagiarism on several occasions and of taking inspiration for his works from other artists without asking for permission. In 1992, he was found guilty of copyright infringement in the U.S. for basing his 1988 sculpture, String of Puppies, on a black and white photograph by Art Rogers called Puppies. In 1993, Koons lost another court case for having used a Garfield character as inspiration in his 1988 work Wild Boy and Puppy. In 2014, he was accused of using a photograph from a French photographer to create the sculpture Naked, which was part of the Banality series he began in 1988. The wife of the deceased photographer took Koons to court in a trial that began in January 2017. The following year, another court in Paris said that Koons had copied a 1980s advertisement for clothing chain Naf-Naf for another 1988 work, which shows a pig standing over a woman lying on her back. It sounds like 1988 was just a bad creative year for Koons. Aside from the multiple plagiarism lawsuits, Koons shocked the world in the early 1990s and rocked the boat again with his Made in Heaven series. In this series, Koons featured himself in some sexually explicit poses with an Italian porn star who he later married in 1991. Fast forward to 2008, when Koons was invited to exhibit 17 artworks in the rooms of the Palace of Versailles. One of the artworks was the giant magenta balloon dog that's related to the sculpture broken a couple weeks ago. At the time, a lot of people were really not happy to see pop art displayed in the palace's royal rooms, and there were complaints that the exhibition was an affront to French heritage. I mean, I don't like contemporary art that much, but maybe that's a little harsh. If Koons hadn't ticked off the French enough in 2008, then he had another opportunity in 2016 when he gifted the city of Paris a sculpture called Bouquet of Tulips in remembrance of the victims of terror attacks in 2015 and 2016. It sounded like a nice gesture, but it was the proposed location for the sculpture that was problematic. The Palais de Tokyo is such a prestigious location near the Eiffel Tower that people accused Koons of trying to advertise and attract attention for himself, and he was criticized because the location had no relation to the site of the attacks. If any of those controversies aren't ringing a bell, which is totally fine because I'm just now learning about some of these myself, you might also know Jeff Koons as a New York artist best known for, of course, his balloon dogs, but also his Michael Jackson and Bubbles sculpture from 1988, his giant puppy topiary in 1992, and more notably, his 1986 stainless steel rabbits. There's actually three rabbits, and one that sold at auction in May 2019 holds the record for the most expensive artwork sold by a living artist at a value of $91.1 million, which to me is just absolutely insane. The piece itself is kind of cool because A, it's super shiny. It reminds me of the Super Bowl's Lombardi Trophy where you touch it and it instantly fingerprints. So it's an OCD person's nightmare. And it's also cool because B, it literally looks like one of those Mylar balloons that you get for birthdays. I had a T-Rex one as a kid, and that thing lasted a ridiculously long time. But being made of stainless steel, I think Koons' rabbit is going to last a little bit longer than that. But Koons didn't instantly hop into the art scene and make million-dollar rabbits. Born in York, Pennsylvania in 1955, Jeff Koons' mother was a seamstress and his father was a furniture dealer and interior decorator. With both of these jobs being in the creative field, it really didn't surprise me when I learned that Jeff showed an interest in art at a young age. What did surprise me is that as a kid, he would replicate paintings done by master painters, and his dad would then display them in the furniture shop's window to attract customers. As a teenager, Jeff Koons was a mega fan of Salvador Dali and was actually able to meet him at one point in New York City. He later studied painting at the Maryland Institute College of Art in Baltimore and the School of the Art Institute of Chicago. While he was studying, Jeff Koons met an artist named Ed Paschke, who became a major influence on his work and who Koons became a studio assistant for. After college, he moved to New York in 1977 and worked at the membership desk of the Museum of Modern Art while working on establishing himself as an artist. I don't know how well that plan went, because after a while, he started working as a broker on Wall Street, which really helps to describe his body language and demeanor in some of the videos I've watched. From 1977 to 1979, he made four works that he calls his early works, and 1978 was when he first started the Inflatable series, where he created inflatable flowers and rabbits. Since 1979, Koons has made his work in series. They're literally called the Pre-New Series and the New Series. And then he got a little bit more creative with the series titles when naming the next ones Equilibrium and Statuary. I won't go into the details on all of his works in the 80s and 90s because we don't have that much time, and I don't want to bore you if you're not interested. But if you are interested and aren't familiar with some of his works, I really encourage you to look into some of them. They're definitely different from a lot of the things that you might associate as a Jeff Koons work, and I think they're a really good representation of some of the work that came out of the contemporary art movement. When asked about his creative process, this is what Jeff Koons had to say.
I try to be open to everything. I don't make any judgments about everything. And eventually I'll start to find meaning in certain objects, certain images. And then eventually I'll realize that I want to make a gesture with that and to make an artwork. So that whole process could be 2 years of just following my interest. And then once I decide to make something, probably another 2 years in the production and the realization of the object. To do that, sometimes I have to work with other people. I have a studio and I have about 130 people. And it's broken up into different sections. I have a 3D department, I have a 2D area, I have painting, I have sculpture. I'm the captain of this ship, so I'm really responsible for everything.
130 people is a lot to have working under you. As a big name artist, that's a very different way to work than artists like myself or, I'm going to guess, anyone listening to this episode. I'm lucky to get someone to hold something for me over here while I move this thing over there, or even most of the time, it's just me and my computer or iPad or piece of paper, and I'm in my own little world drawing away while listening to music or a murder mystery thing. So yeah, having 130 studio assistants is really different and very hard to imagine. I'd love to be a fly on the wall for just a couple hours in his studio to see how he's captaining that ship, because it's just so intriguing. But hey, I guess if you're making $1 million piece of art or 799 balloon dogs, then you might need a little help. But if you're making $1 million piece of art, where do you even start? That sounds like a monumental task. And if you're an artist, you might know the feeling. But what happens if you get done and it's just not the vision you had in your head?
I think a lot about my work before I make it, and I decide whether I'm going to commit to making something. And once I make that decision, I've really pre-thought everything. So very rarely would I ever make anything. It's only ever happened once that at the end I thought, this wasn't exactly what I intended.
Oh, it must be nice. Maybe it's an experience thing. Maybe it's a matter of having 262 hands, or 131 pairs of hands if you count him and his 130 assistants. But yeah, definitely an interesting way to work, and I have to admire his confidence. All right, everyone, welcome back. Let's talk about these balloon dogs some more. When I first saw them many, many years ago, I thought they were kind of cute and kind of cool. I'm not super into contemporary art as a whole because that's really just not my style. Nothing wrong with that, to each their own. But as an artist and appreciator of art, I thought the balloon dogs were a really fun concept, especially when they're at the massive scale of some of the first ones. But I'm getting ahead of myself.
The balloon dog is part of the Celebration series. I started the series in 1994. I wanted to make a body of work that was really about archetype, to connect people to the monumental and the everyday. When I made Balloon Dog, I wanted to make a piece that reflected the joy of celebrating a birthday or a party. I bought a packet of balloons and I blew the balloons up and I just started twisting. Once I had kind of control of the medium, I chose the balloon dog that I felt was really, you know, the best suited to become more monumental and to blow it up in scale. Each balloon dog's unique. One is red, one is magenta, one is blue, one is orange, and one is yellow, to show the spectrum. And also to communicate to people that every color is perfect.
The audio clip you just heard is from a video put out on Christie's YouTube channel. And when I say Christie's, I mean the auction house, not some random person. I'm going to link to that video and then the two others that you've heard audio clips from in the show notes in case you want to watch them. They're short. They won't take you 3 hours, even though I've been known to watch hours of videos for research for these episodes. But these are short and nice and, well, just go watch them if you're interested. If I'm not mistaken, the giant orange and giant magenta balloon dogs were some of the first ones made. They've been located in places like the Grand Canal in Venice, in the middle of a room in the Palace of Versailles, the Neue National Gallery in Berlin, and the roof of the Metropolitan in New York. And now, the balloon dogs are some of the most well-known, expensive sculptures in the contemporary art world. The giant orange balloon dog sold at auction at Christie's in 2013 for $53.4 million and is the fourth most expensive work sold by a living artist at auction. But making the balloon dogs and the rest of the inflated animals wasn't cheap either. Koons was pushing to finish the Celebration series in time for a 1996 exhibition at the Guggenheim in New York. But as sometimes happens, there were some production delays and cost overruns, so the exhibition was ultimately canceled. When the funding ran out, the staff was laid off and Koons was working with what you'd call a skeleton crew of only two other people. Koons had to get some art collectors to invest pretty heavily to get production back up and running and finish the series. To do it, the dealers had to sell the works before they were even fabricated. And eventually, one really big-wig dealer named Larry Gagosian agreed to finance the completion of all the unfinished Celebration series works in exchange for exclusive rights to sell them. From 1994 to 2000, Koons also created 799 balloon dogs for this particular series. Why 799? I have no clue. Maybe 800 was just too much. You have the five big dogs. Orange, blue, magenta, yellow, and red, made of stainless steel that stand 12 feet high and weigh 2,000 pounds each. Then you have all of the little baby balloon dogs, just like the one that was broken in February 2023, that are made of porcelain and are about 16 inches tall and apparently are light enough to knock off a pedestal and are highly breakable. Beyond that, there are thousands of other balloon dogs in collections across the world. I'm pretty sure owning one of these balloon dog sculptures has become a required purchase for any art collector. I'm thinking maybe we make it the unofficial mascot of Artrageous. I'll have to come up with some new podcast art for that in all of my infinite free time. But I'll be honest, I was a little bored on Monday night and I got curious about ChatGPT and wanted to try it out. So I asked it to tell me about the Jeff Koons balloon dog breaking. It came back with some answer about the magenta balloon dog breaking in 2013 and how it was repaired, which isn't totally true, but barring factual inaccuracies and the lack of knowledge of the most recent incident a couple weeks ago, I then asked ChatGPT why the balloon dogs are so popular. The answer it gave me was surprisingly well-structured and was in line with my research. Basically, Koons balloon dogs are popular because of their combination of playfulness, contradiction, and scale. They're fun and bright colored, but because they're made of metal,
They're heavy instead of light like a balloon should be. And some of the balloon dogs are massive. I'm sure if I channeled my inner writing nerd from back when I was in high school or college, I could probably come up with some really deep, probably BS commentary on the meaning of the pieces and what they evoke, but that's a whole other ballgame for a different podcast. I can see I'm starting to go on multiple tangents here, so I think it's time to wrap up this episode. I know it was a little bit of a shorter one today, and the last two were as well. Sometimes the stories we talk about on this podcast will be more narrative and have a lot of chronological events and details to talk about. Other times, subjects might be a little less step-by-step and just make for a shorter episode. That's just the way it goes sometimes, and I never want to draw out a story or topic or episode just to keep talking. And with that, one of my goals for this podcast is to bring you guys the best stories possible and talk about things that are interesting. So when events like the one in this episode pop up, I'd like to bring you these more recent stories. That way we aren't always talking about things that happened 100 years ago or about some crusty, dusty old painting or things like that. There's plenty of episodes coming. We aren't on any kind of timeline, and I'm kind of just winging it. So there's plenty of time and room for all those different stories in this podcast. I really hope you're enjoying the stories I bring you, but if you have any ideas for things you want me to talk about or any feedback for the show, you can email me at artrageous.artpod@gmail.com, or you can leave a review in your podcast app. If you haven't already, I'd really appreciate it if you leave me a 5-star review, because it actually does help get the show out there and encourages other people to listen. You can either leave just the 5 stars, or if you want to take time, you can also leave a comment with it. I read all the comments and feedback I get, so it is very much appreciated. Well, guys, I think that about does it for this episode. I found even more great episode ideas when researching this week, so I need to get my ducks in a row and decide what story to bring you next. But just remember, if it's not a good story, you won't find it here. I'll catch you guys next Thursday, and until then, stay artrageous.
Series music created by Arensen. Music and transition sounds licensed from Motion Array. Artrageous is a proud partner of Stoveleg Media.
Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.